Quítame el aliento de tanto amar y amar, y no me dejes pensar. Echa fuera de mi pecho este amor que aún le tengo. Abrígame, consuélame, libérame de este sufrimiento. Y hazme olvidarla, por favor, hazme olvidarla. Hazme sentir que no es la única mujer. Borra sus huellas de mi mente, de mi alma. Arráncala.
Dominican singer and songwriter Ruby Pérez performed Hazme Olvidar, Make Me Forget. The legendary merengue musician was one of more than 220 people killed Tuesday when a roof collapsed at a Santo Domingo nightclub where he was performing. He was 69 years old. Also among the dead, Octavio Dotel and Tony Blanco, two Major League Baseball players. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We look now at how Microsoft fired two software engineers this week after they protested Israel's use of Microsoft's AI and cloud technology in its assault on Gaza. A recent investigation by the Associated Press revealed the Israeli military used this technology to select bombing targets in Gaza and Lebanon. Leaked documents obtained by The Guardian and DropSite News earlier this year showed the extent to which the Israeli military was using Microsoft cloud computing platform and how its use of Microsoft's AI technology spiked dramatically in the months following October 7, 2023. The protests began last Friday at Microsoft's 50th anniversary celebrations as Microsoft AI CEO Mustafa Suleiman presented product updates to an audience that included Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates. This is software engineer Ibtihal Abusat, who organizes with the Microsoft employee-led campaign No Azure for Apartheid, disrupting and confronting Suleiman.
Shame on you! You are a war profiteer. Stop using AI for genocide, Mustafa. Stop using AI for genocide in our region. You have blood on your hands. All of Microsoft has blood on its hands. How dare you all celebrate when Microsoft is killing children? Shame on you all.
Thank you. Stop using our— I hear your protest. Thank you.
The second protest at Microsoft's 50th anniversary celebrations was led by Microsoft software developer Vanya Agarwal, who interrupted a discussion between Bill Gates, former CEO Steve Ballmer, and the current CEO, Satya Nadella.
Shame on you all. You're all hypocrites. I'm a Microsoft worker, and I do not consent to my—
Thank you.
50,000 Palestinians in Gaza have been murdered with Microsoft technology.
Thank you.
How dare you? Shame on all of you for celebrating on their blood. Cut ties with Israel. No Azure for Apartheid. Microsoft AI kills kids. Microsoft powers genocide.
Both of the Microsoft workers who protested were fired this week. In October, Microsoft also fired two workers for helping organize an unauthorized lunchtime vigil for Palestinian refugees at its headquarters. For more, we're joined by one of the fired workers, Vanya Agarwal. She is in Seattle. Welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. Can you start off by talking about exactly what you did, Vanya, and why you did it?
Yeah, good morning, Amy, and thank you so much for having me. So just a little background. Throughout 2025, Microsoft has been celebrating its 50th year anniversary using message centered around its philanthropist impact. But every month, we continue to learn more and more about how Microsoft and its services have enabled and accelerated the genocide in Gaza. As you mentioned, there have been multiple investigations by news outlets, including The Guardian, AP, DropSite News, and others. And the response from Microsoft on all of this has shed light on its hypocrisy. They declined to comment on the investigations. They evade questions internally. They delete comments from workers asking for explanations. They remove peaceful protesters from premises. And like you mentioned, they even fired two of our members last October. So our campaign, No Azure for Apartheid, felt no celebration should be allowed while Microsoft is playing an active role in the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. So that's why our campaign decided to protest their 50th anniversary event. But to be clear, this was a very coordinated and planned protest. Although Ibtihel and I have been the public faces of the disruptions, this protest wouldn't have happened without all the names and hands behind the campaign. So as part of the protest, we disrupted the keynote event. Ibtihel disrupted the head of AI at Microsoft, Mustafa, and I disrupted the Microsoft CEOs, including Bill Gates, Satya Nadella, and Steve Ballmer. After both of our disruptions, we each blasted internal emails to thousands of Microsoft employees with three goals. We wanted everyone to know that Microsoft's cloud and AI are the bombs and bullets of the 21st century. We wanted to make our demands of Microsoft loud and clear that they must disclose and divest from the IOF, call for a permanent ceasefire, and protect the free speech of their employees. And we wanted to encourage others to take action. In a company that has a footprint in all major military infrastructures in Israel, all workers are complicit, and Eddie has a part to play.
Vanya, how much support do you have among workers, and who feels they can protest and who doesn't? Are people right now concerned, especially international workers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I believe if there's one thing we've seen in reaction to our protests, it's just that we're not alone. The Microsoft workers are outraged. We've all been misled into developing and supporting weapons under the guise of AI for good. And we're already seeing Microsoft workers take action. Workers everywhere began actions in protest of Microsoft's direct complicity and in response to a global call to action from Gaza for a strike and civil disobedience. So earlier this week, these workers refused to work and sent status messages expressing refusal to have their labor go to Microsoft's war profiteering. And just last week, Microsoft was also designated as one of the priority boycott targets of the BDS movement. And so we've seen tons of people everywhere making material impacts by answering this call to pressure Microsoft and hold these billionaire war criminals accountable. Even across within Microsoft itself, we're seeing workers call out Microsoft and its executives across their social platforms, shutting down job posting for AI roles at Microsoft and even forcing Microsoft to turn off and hide comments on all of their 50th anniversary content. So Microsoft's image is really tarnished. The world now sees that they're hypocrites and they can't hide behind their philanthropy, their mission, or their prestige any longer. As far as who is able to take action, I know that I recognize my privilege and my position in being able to take a loud stand like this, and not everybody can do that without putting so much on the line, their jobs, their families, their homes. It's really scary times. But there are ways to be involved and to take action without putting yourself in the line of fire. Like I mentioned, our protest was a coordinated and planned effort. There were so many folks working behind the scenes that made it happen. And grassroots movements like this have such a variety of needs and roles that assume different levels of risk. And, you know, in the same line of thought, we have power in our numbers. Resistance isn't a solitary endeavor, and it only survives in the arms of the collective. So for this campaign, I would really urge everyone to get involved however they can, answer BDS calls, to apply pressure to Microsoft, build community and get involved, sign petitions from campaigns like ours to hold these companies accountable. And for those willing to assume a little more risk, demand that your workplaces divest from Israel, refuse to have your labor apartheid, genocide, and refuse to have your labor power apartheid and genocide. And for those who can't assume risk, no action is small in this movement. Even things like making a PB&J sandwich for mutual aid is a form of resistance.
Vanya, we just have a minute. No Azure for Apartheid is your slogan. Can you explain it further? What is Azure for people who are not in the know?
Yeah, so Azure is Microsoft's cloud technology, and Azure itself provides services and platforms and tools for Microsoft's customers to build their own services and products and tools, and also to get support from Microsoft itself.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll certainly continue to follow what's happening at Microsoft. Vanya Agrawal, organizer with No Azure for Apartheid, former Microsoft worker, joined with another protester protesting Microsoft, Israel's use of Microsoft technology in its assault on Gaza, more than 50,000, and it's expected that's a serious undercount. Palestinians have been killed there in this latest attack since October 2023. Next up, the director and star of the new Palestinian feature film, The Teacher. It premieres tonight. Stay with us. Alex Baranowski for the new film, The Teacher. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to a feature film about the many challenges of life in the occupied West Bank. It follows a Palestinian school teacher struggling between his commitment to resistance and supporting one of his students. The film is called The Teacher. It was made and premiered at festivals before October 7, 2023, but it's only being released in the United States this week. This is the trailer.
I'm looking for one of your students, Yaqub Haddad.
Yaqub Haddad!
Hello, hello.
Great. Miss United Nations has arrived.
Welcome to our home.
How do you keep them on track in an environment like this?
Some of them stop seeing the point anymore.
She's come to see you. Maybe you can benefit from it.
You're not confined in that prison anymore. And I'm here for you. You have to finish school. Yaqub, please, man.
They're setting fire to the olives.
How's Adam doing?
Lost.
I will work on this case, but it is not often that the state will bring criminal charges.
Have some hope and hold on to it.
So it's not bad.
But after everything you've been through, you still believe there'll be justice?
Under huge pressure, otherwise we would not have brought him here.
24-year-old IDF soldier Nathaniel Cohen abducted over 3 years ago.
Spies are everywhere, and informants are singing their lungs out.
He's that captured soldier, right?
You cannot tell a soul about this. No one, do you hear me?
I understand. I'm with you.
The lives of over 1,000 prisoners depend on that one soldier.
We will use every means possible to find him.
He knew he was getting away with it. They all did. I swear he killed my brother.
Revenge eats away at you and destroys you from the inside, and it resolves absolutely nothing.
There are things I'll never be able to share with you. I'm chained to my past.
Give me the gun, Adam.
Adam!
Mobilize a team for bullying.
Smoke them up.
They'll keep him alive as long as it takes.
How do you know that?
Because they know that your people believe your son is worth thousands of mine.
The trailer for The Teacher, a new feature film premiering tonight in New York at the Angelica. It's directed by the BAFTA-winning, Oscar-nominated Palestinian-British filmmaker Farah Nabulsi and stars the acclaimed Palestinian actor Salah Bekri, who's both joining us in our New York studio today. Being there last night was amazing at the Angelica before the big premiere tonight. Farah, talk about making this film. You also wrote it, you directed it, and you actually did this years ago over a period of years and made the film, but only premiering it now.
Yeah, I wrote the film about 5 years ago. We shot it in militarily occupied, colonized Palestine approximately 2.5 years ago, and it premiered September 2023, as you mentioned. You know, you're shooting in territory that is a place of apartheid. It's a place where you have illegal Israeli settlers, that kind of vandalism and violence every day that Palestinians endure. And you're trying to do justice to that reality as that reality is unfolding around you in real time. So it was a very difficult process. An example is that in the film, as you see in the trailer, we have a moment where there is a home demolition. But on my way to work one morning, I pass by a couple with their 6 children on the side of the road in front of the rubble of their freshly demolished home. So it's a fiction narrative, this film, but it is deeply, deeply rooted in the reality. And we struggled on many levels. You know, the normal pragmatic things of checkpoints and roadblocks, but really dealing with the oppression and the very blatant abuse and humiliation of Palestinians is something that weighs on you when you're trying to carry out cinema.
I want to go to a clip of the film, The Teacher. Bassem, played by our guest today, Palestinian actor Salah Bekri, is in his classroom speaking to his student Yaqub, who'd just been released from an Israeli prison after serving a 2-year sentence over his involvement in a protest.
Wait for me. I'll find you outside.
You can't hand in work like this. It's clear you made no effort. I know this year has been tough, settling back in. But remember, this is a chance to get back control of your life. And you're just wasting it. Have another go, and there's no shame in asking your brother if you need help.
Early in the film, in The Teacher, Israeli soldiers demolish the home where Yaqub and his brother Adam live with their mother. Their teacher, Bassem, comes to visit them on the land where the brothers' home once stood. Yaqub and Adam are sitting on a couch amidst the rubble of what was once their home.
Guys, I want to talk to you. How have things been at your uncle's place?
Amazing. Stuffed in one bedroom with our 4 cousins.
Nothing nicer than sharing a room with 4 pubescents.
I've been meaning to ask you about the payment for the demolition.
Mom's trying to figure it out. Our uncle can't afford.
Let them go to hell. Drinks from the Sea of Gaza.
I hope this is enough.
Thank you. There's no way our mother will accept this. No way.
Tell her it's for all the gardening you did for me in the old days. You earned it.
Great. Miss United Nations has arrived.
She's come to see you. Maybe you can benefit from it.
Player.
Hello, Miss Lisa.
Welcome to our home.
You're not confined in that prison anymore. So now you seize this. You have to finish school. I know it's not easy, but the alternative, Yaqub, is not something that I think you want. You just have to focus. Yaqub, please, man.
Yaqub is picking up binoculars in the scene. He sees a group of Israeli settlers from afar setting fire to several olive trees. He gets up and runs toward them. His younger brother Adam follows him as Yaqub confronts the Israeli settlers, one of whom shoots Yaqub in the chest, killing him. You play the teacher. Salah Bakri, you play the star of this film, and you are Palestinian yourself. We're seeing Palestinians killed, we're seeing settler violence, we're seeing demolition of homes. How was that for you to manifest as an actor?
Well, you know, in our work, the tragedies we are living, we turn it into this energy that we get from the tragedies that we are confronting and that we are experiencing. It's an energy that we can turn it into a creative energy, in a creative way. And that's the privilege of art, that we can turn the sad reality and the difficult reality into something creative, into something that we can share with all humanity. And in a way, this form of resistance, art, in all its aspects, whether it is cinema, theater, painting, any kind of art, it's a form of resistance that, in the same time, it cures the soul, our souls. It cures us from falling into feelings that distracts you, or feelings that make you blind, you know, like hatred or anything like that. So it is a continuous struggle and a continuous resistance of this reality.
Where were you born?
I was born in Jaffa.
Where do you live now?
Haifa.
So you filmed this before October 2023, and yet here you are traveling the country and the United States as you premiere this film, from what was happening then to what's happening today. Gaza, well over 50,000 people killed, the intensification and violence in the West Bank. What are your thoughts on that?
I am privileged. I can move. And I use this privilege. You know, the occupation wants us separated. And I fight this separation. I'm not an alien in my homeland. I am part of this people. And I want to break this siege they put on us, and I want to go to Gaza. I want to work in Gaza. I want to do theater in Gaza. I want to do cinema in Gaza. I'm not allowed. People in the West Bank are not allowed to come to Haifa to see my work in Haifa. So we are scattered all around, not able or not allowed to gather and to work together, to learn from each other, to tell our story in a way, in a perfect way, in a way that in a complete way. You know, I am I'm not different from anybody who lives in the West Bank or in Gaza or in a refugee camp in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan. So I wanna destroy, I wanna dismantle these checkpoints, these borders all around Palestine, and to come together. I dream of Palestinians coming together again, living their life, doing art, doing music together, telling their stories to the world, to themselves, learning from each other's, and teaching the world. This is my fight. This is my struggle, and this is our struggle, our collective struggle. So being here is part of it, you know. I'm privileged to be here. The people in Gaza for more than 18 years now are segregated. They are in a prison, maybe the biggest prison open prison on earth, and they are facing a genocide. And we are facing it, all of us, and we are there. I feel maybe during this 2 years, I felt the best place, the place I wanted to be most is in Gaza, not anywhere else, not here. I want to be in Gaza now, you know, just to be with the people and to be there, just to be there, to hug the mothers, the kids, the children, the fathers, and to try to do something on earth. I feel paralyzed. And you know, I even find it hard to just comprehend what I am as a Palestinian is dealing with. What is it? How it inflicts me? What would come out of me after that? You know. So and we is for me, Israel must held accountable for for the crimes it's done, not only in Gaza today, since 1948 until today. They made crimes, the continuous crimes since 1948 that they didn't held accountable, and that's why they are doing what they are doing now. And I hope that this genocide is the end of it. It's the end of the Zionist regime in Palestine.
More than 10 years ago, we had your father at this table, Mohammed Bakri, when he was facing jail for his documentary called Janine, Janine. But before we end, I wanted to ask you, Fatah, about that theme that runs through this of 1,000 Palestinians freed for one Israeli hostage.
You know, I think it comes back to a little bit about what you were asking, Saleh. This morning, I was looking out my window and I was thinking the equivalent, when we think about imbalance in value for human life. This is a story inspired by, in 2011, an Israeli occupation soldier was exchanged for over 1,000 Palestinian political prisoners, hundreds of whom were women and children, hundreds of whom were being held in administrative detention, which, as you know, is without trial or charge. And that just seemed like such a massive imbalance.
We have 20 seconds.
But today we can see there is no value for Palestinian life. And the equivalent in New York would be around 1 million Palestinians or 1 million New Yorkers being brutally killed, blinded, burned, and 8 million displaced. Where's the value?
I want to thank you both for being with us. Farah Nabulsi, BAFTA-winning, Oscar-nominated British-Palestinian director, and Saleh Bakri, Palestinian actor and star of The Teacher. It premieres tonight in New York and around the country.
Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.